Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. This is an EQ Fit Live episode where we take our LinkedIn Live sessions directly to your ears. I'm your host, Steve Goodner, here to provide powerful, practical tools that drive personal and organizational excellence through emotional intelligence and effective leadership. Let's dive into this recent live event. Hey, welcome everybody. I'm Steve Goodner here with Dr. Chuck Coker. Today, we're going to dive into something that I get so many questions about, Chuck, which is how do I deal with conflict? Mm-hmm. And I think the default mode for a lot of people is avoid it because it's just a lot less painful to avoid conflict than it is to actually do something about it. So I just want to kind of open it up today, and we want to be honoring of everybody's time. We try to keep these to 30 to 40 minutes apiece, try to bring a lot of information and techniques and ideas and thoughts to bring value, I hope, to you. This thing about conflict, and I literally this morning, Chuck, I was on Reddit, on the leadership subreddit, and there was somebody asking, a new leader was asking, well, I've got all these stakeholders and they're treating me, you know, terribly, and they're treating my team terribly. And I've only been a leader since September of last year, and I don't know how to deal with this. And it's obvious that's the kind of conflict that we're trying to help people with, is how do you navigate through some of those situations and figure out, you know, what do we do? So let me just start with a question here, Chuck. Is conflict a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, most people would consider it a bad thing, but I'm here to tell you conflict is one of the best things that can possibly happen in a corporate environment as well as an individual environment. And let me tell you my reasoning behind that. When there is conflict, there is generally a lack of information or understanding. And, you know, Harvard and Michigan have both published studies that 68% of the information given out as either directions, information, or something cannot be completely executed without further information. So what we're doing when we interact 68% of the time is asking people to deal with issues that they don't have enough information to deal with. That's why the first aspect of conflict is a misunderstanding. So conflict is good. It clears up those misunderstandings and it brings something to the surface that has to be dealt with. And once it's dealt with, then we pick up speed and we can move on, Steve.
Okay, good, good. And I love the way that you look at conflict, because I would agree with that. And I've heard the term used, and I've used it as well, constructive conflict. How do we approach conflict? And I think there are some myths about conflict. And I'm gonna read a list of these, but I really want to focus on three of them.
Okay.
So let me just read you a list of these, and then I want to go back and hit what I think are the most important three that we can talk about. Conflict is always dysfunctional. Conflict represents a communication breakdown. If avoided, conflict will eventually go away. Sorry, I know that one's not true. All conflict can be resolved. Conflict will occur. All conflict can be managed. Conflict can help build relationships. Conflict can be a motivator for change. and all conflicts have a winner and a loser. Now, I call those myths, but I guess I should have said some of those are myths, mm-hmm. but some of those are truths.
That's true.
So I've highlighted three of these, Chuck, that I'd like you to talk about.
Sure.
The first thing is conflict is always dysfunctional.
That's obviously not true. As we discussed earlier, conflict is often initiated through a misunderstanding or a lack of information. Therefore, it cannot be considered dysfunctional. Conflict brings out the information. That's why 90% of the time I work with leaders, I try to teach them, you do not lead with statements, you lead with questions. Because when you lead with questions, you are asking for a collaborative approach to the situation. And 80% of all conflict can be solved through collaboration, which we're going to see in just a minute. But what I can tell you is that conflict is rarely dysfunctional, unless you have somebody that's completely unreasonable. And in most cases, that's not always true.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next one. The next one is all conflict can be resolved.
That's not true, because there is some conflict that a manager or a leader must take control of. For example, what would happen if I said, ladies and gentlemen, the building's on fire. What I would like for you to do is finish typing up your present emails, etc. And when you get ready, just leave in an orderly manner. What's going to happen? People are going to go insane rather than, okay, let's deal with this situation. Everybody from this row of desk, you go now. Etc., etc. That kind of conflict can be dealt with very quickly and very securely, because there should not be an argument about the fact that we need to get the heck out of the building. On the other hand, you have conflict that a manager or a leader must make a command decision, even though there are 33 different approaches to this. That's what they get paid for. The buck stops here for a reason. And a manager has a more global view than individual departments do. Therefore, they have information that individual departments do not have. Therefore, they are the only ones who can truly resolve the conflict in a manner that is beneficial to the organization as a whole, rather than a specific department. So I hope those two examples help.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, as we kind of dive deeper into this thing of conflict and how can we leverage conflict to get a more strategic outcome, an outcome that's more beneficial to everybody. Let me go to my last one that I highlighted here. All conflicts have a winner and a loser.
Not true. So all three of these we've discovered are not true, because as I mentioned earlier, 80% of all conflict can be resolved through collaboration. Now, what is collaboration? Collaboration is where two people win and they can walk away being satisfied that not only have they been heard, but that their ideas have value. This builds engagement within the organization, and it builds the kind of relationships where we can retain employees rather than push them out the door. And you and I have talked on multiple sessions in the past about the fact that 85% of people quit their jobs, not the company, but the manager or the leader. Yeah. And when there is this aggressive individual saying this is how it's going to be and there's no collaboration, it won't be long before the turnover begins.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Chuck. I'm going to stop for just a second here, Chuck, as I know we've had some people join us. Mm-hmm. And I want to, what we've been doing is offering people kind of a special gift. Mm-hmm. And Chuck has created a proprietary assessment called Response to Conflict. And if you're interested in that Response to Conflict assessment at no cost to yourself, put something in the chat that lets me know that, and we'll connect with you and then get your information and get this out to you. Because when I took this assessment, it really increased my self-awareness. I really didn't understand. Now, I'm all about emotional intelligence and neuroscience, Chuck. You know that. We just finished our course, you know, The Art of Emotionally Intelligent Leadership, and we're just about ready to launch that. But what I didn't realize was my focus in self-awareness had a whole new dimension added when I understood how I respond to conflict. What's my primary? What's my secondary? So if any of you watching are interested in seeing that for yourself, I would say, please put something in the chat so I can get back to you and let you know, that we can provide that for you. So I just wanted to stop for a second there, Chuck, and offer that. Oh,
no problem at all. This is a $59 individual assessment, 13 pages of information. So we're willing to share that with you for this program only. But remember, as we go through this information, especially if you're in a corporate environmental setting, you need to understand how your team members are going to respond to conflict. And there is no one special way to do that. Anybody that tries to sell you a conflict with the ABC method or the DESC method is a joke. Is a joke.
How do you really feel about that, Chuck?
What can I say?
You know, and for people that may not be as aware of this as we are, because we devote our lives to this stuff. Chuck and I have put in decades of work in understanding people, understanding how the brain works, understanding these nuances of life and work. And so there's real science behind everything that we do. And I just want everybody to be aware of that and to get a sense that there are ways to understand yourself and how you respond in certain situations that is going to help you get better outcomes more often. And that's what we're talking about, is being more intentional. So, Chuck, now I want to move to my next question. We've kind of dealt with, you know, the thing of, is it good? Is it bad? What is conflict? We talked about some of the myths, some of the truths. Now I want to ask you, you have a very specific way of looking at conflict, looking at these interactions. When you talk about a mind map for conflict, tell us what that means.
Well, I think the important thing to remember is what I just kind of expressed my opinion about just a moment ago. And that is, there is no one single approach that works for everyone in mm-hmm. dealing with conflict. Therefore, we have to understand, number one, what is the primary response motive of the individual? What is the secondary, the tertiary, and what are some of their minor approaches to conflict? Now, why do we need to do that? As a manager, if you don't understand this, you will inevitably disengage, cause anger, frustration with your employees.
Yeah.
A mind map tells us, where does the person's mind go first, second, third, etc. So the response to conflict assessment that we're talking about helps a manager understand how an individual is actually going to respond to being challenged in that process. And so when we think about that, it's important that we understand, okay, if like Steve Goodner, we're an individual who is an aggressive competitor and they're going to fight with you about the situation, then what we want to do is we want to begin with questions. If you were doing this, how would you approach it? Yeah. Where if you have a more collaborative person, you would want to approach them as, here are some suggestions. Which ones do you think is best? If you've got a negotiator, would you tell me what you think about how to approach this particular situation? So there are five particular styles, and they are based on the natural behavioral profile and the mindset of the individual, what they value the most. Now, you won't see that part spelled out, but what you will see is the blending of their behaviors and mindsets to identify which approach they are going to rely on. And if you know that ahead of time, there's really not going to be a lot of conflict.
Okay.
It will literally reduce the whole process to, okay, here's what I have, here's how I approach them, and that's getting what you want on the first try without stress, without the disengagement process starting up. And now you get the full mindset of the individual to help solve that problem quickly and efficiently. If you don't know that mind map and you're going from an aggressive competitor to a collaborator, you're not going to know which approach is going to work, because you may start with collaboration, but that may not work.
Yeah. And that's interesting. Let me walk through. By the way, it's not aggressive. It's assertive.
I'm sorry.
Just want to stress that.
So sorry.
You know, it's funny because my primary approach is assertive competitor, but my secondary approach, Chuck, is collaborative partner.
Yes.
Help us understand, how does that work with somebody like me?
Well, your nature is going to be presenting, this is the way I think we should approach this, and this is the solution I think this will produce. Then you're going to have someone in your audience say, well, you know, I tried this and it worked fantastic. So what are you going to do if you're an aggressive competitor? Well, you're going to argue about that.
Right.
And so this is what I have decided that's going to work. So what's going to happen to this person who really just wants to be a part of this process and identify some different alternatives that may in fact work? You're going to squelch their enthusiasm, and you're going to squelch their desire to participate in the process.
Okay. So I noticed on my assessment that my assertive competitor has a score of 85, but my collaborative partner has a score of 82. Mm-hmm. So those are close together.
Yes, they are.
What does that mean? Does that mean I switch back and forth easily, or what is
it? Yes. One of the things that you have going for you, Steve, that a lot of managers do not have, excuse my hiccups, is the fact that you understand personalities. You can pick up on that, excuse me, and a lot of people can't. So based on your intuition and what you're picking up on as far as the vibes between you and the other person, you can switch very quickly and very easily to that other. It's when you've got all five of them under the line that a person is not going to want to switch. They are going to stay with their primary focus, and that's a problem.
Okay. And that's, to me, where the emotional intelligence skill sets come in. Yeah, because we all have things in our brains called mirror neurons. Mm-hmm. These mirror neurons are our emotional radar. And so if you've ever walked in a room and felt the mood of the room, that's your mirror neurons telling you, is everybody happy? Are they sad? Is there something wrong? Yeah, I mean, you just pick up on these things. And so when I think about what you're saying here, that ability for me to move from assertive competitor to that more collaborative partner, I'm doing that through my emotional intelligence skills that are helping me to focus in on where is this person and or this group of people as it relates to the emotional environment. And through that, what I'm doing is I'm leveraging conflict resolution skills with emotional intelligence skills, hopefully to get the better outcomes. Does that make sense?
Especially if you already know the mind map. If you know that mind map, then back, you can go directly to the mindset of the individual.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some of those other three. We've talked about assertive competitor. We've talked about this collaborative partner, which are my number one and number two. What are the other ones, Chuck?
Well, let's walk through them one at a time, and let's talk about the negotiator.
Okay.
The negotiator is an individual who wants to and is willing to give up something to get something. In other words, they have the mindset of win-lose, win-lose. It's okay if I lose something as long as I get the major aspects of what I'm actually going over.
And so, I think, Chuck, your terminology for that is compromising negotiator.
That's
if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
Okay. So you are giving, you're willing. Is that a willingness to give up something, or is that just, you just know that that's the way you're going to go, that you're just going to enter in knowing that you're not going to get everything you want?
Well, here's the thing that I think we need to understand. And that is the fact that, a negotiator, compromising negotiator, is an individual that is going in there to win, but they expect to have to give up something to get what they want.
Okay.
So, you know, there is a assertiveness aspect, but there's also a responsiveness aspect. Okay. In this process. And if you want to share each of the two full titles with me, I'll be happy to go through the other two with you.
Yeah, absolutely. The other two, and I'm switching over to look at my report, avoiding appeaser. Let's deal with that one. What is an avoiding appeaser?
Okay. This is predominantly an individual who is probably a hyper high S and a hyper high C, because they do not like confrontation.
Yeah. Okay. So for those that may not know what we're talking about, high S, high C, high steadiness, high compliance on a DISC assessment, that basically means you are about pace and promise with the S. With the C, you're about facts and details. You don't like to make mistakes, and you don't like conflict. You don't like confrontation. Mm-hmm. So that's that avoiding appeaser that we're talking about here.
Exactly. And they're the type of individuals who will go into a situation expecting to not get their way. Mm. In other words, they will just follow the crowd. They will not participate actively in the decision-making process, and they do not want to rock the boat because they don't want their profile risen, because if their profile is up, they're going to be asked a lot of questions and they're afraid they may not have the answers, when in fact they may be a resource for all of the information that is needed.
Yeah. And what I tell people, especially in conflict mode, where there's something that needs to be resolved, some of the best answers in the room may be from the quietest people.
That's correct.
And so we have, if we're going to be good leaders, we have to reach out and invite people in to the conversation, because we don't want to miss the best idea in the room because somebody's afraid of saying the wrong thing or making a mistake or not having all their facts or all not, everything isn't lining up perfectly or whatever it is. That's why constructive conflict, I think, is so, so very important. So the last one to talk about, Chuck, is this cooperative accommodator. What's a cooperative accommodator?
Well, it's someone who will be cooperative, who will be engaged in the conversation, but will be more responsive to other people's directions. Okay. They will ask questions, they will become involved, but they may not, or I can guarantee you, they will not be hyper assertive in the process. Okay. And so as they go through this process, they will want to be involved, but they may not be responsive in a way that will actually contribute to dealing with the conflict in a constructive manner.
Okay. Okay. So let's take this back up to a higher level for a minute, Chuck. We've kind of walked through what is conflict, what are some realities around conflict, the assessment that you've created, the insights that we can gain from that, which you know I love because I'm all about a data-driven approach to the people side of everything, which I know sounds maybe contradictory, but it's not, because the more we can understand other people, the better off we are. We've actually been able to tie this to emotional intelligence skills and understand that self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, social skills are all impacted in some fashion by conflict. Mm-hmm. Now let's take this up to back to a little higher level and just talk about this from a day-to-day perspective. If you were to create a productive mindset around how you approach conflict, what would that mindset look like? What would you suggest to people? How would you like them to reframe their mindset so that they approach conflict and not avoid it?
I think the key is very simple. And the key is when you know that the information you are going to present is going to create anxiety, challenge the abilities of the individuals, or institute change, when you have a lot of introverted people who are going to fight it, you begin to ask questions. You start. What does that do? That builds a collaborative mindset initially. And as we said, studies show us 80% of all conflict can be resolved through collaboration. So by starting with questions, okay, especially if you have a strong team of introverted, analytical, detail-oriented people,
right?
You send out an email, here's the subject that we're going to discuss. I would love for you to bring your ideas to this time. Hmm. Then when you sit down, team, you're the experts. I want to hear what you have to say about this. And you know, psychology 101 tells us about something called the Hawthorne theory.
Okay.
And for those of you that aren't familiar with the Hawthorne theory, Let me boil it down to one sentence. Ask people for their opinion and then do what you darn well please. And
wait a minute, what's wrong with that, Chuck?
What you're doing is you're asking for their input. And once a person gives you their input, they feel that they have participated in a way that they may not get what they want, but at least they were part of the process. Yeah. And that's why collaboration works. Yeah. So you bring their ideas there, and then you have the team vote on which you think are the top three ideas. And then you say, okay, I'm going to take these top three ideas to management, and we're going to work through this, and I will let you know by email exactly what we've come up with, unless we're unanimous in our decision. And if we are, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It may very well be what I want them to do, you know? Yeah. So, excuse me again.
No, you're fine, Chuck. And what this really does, it speaks to some foundational things that we know. As a leader, and leaders don't have to be a position of authority, it's a position of influence.
That's great.
As a leader, if we create a psychologically safe environment where there is, where people feel safe from retaliation or punitive action or whatever, there's a psychologically safe environment and where people have an equality of conversational sharing, then those two things open up this ability to have constructive feedback and constructive conflict. And basically, when we say conflict, we're looking to conflict resolution. How do we move into resolving these conflicts? Because basically, conflicts are misunderstandings, they're differences of opinions, they're something that hasn't been solved yet. There's a problem that hasn't been solved yet. And the way to get those things resolved is to take this more open approach to resolving conflict. And what I love about what you've done and creating this assessment, Chuck, remind me, I believe you also have a course on conflict, correct?
Yes, we do. And here's something I want to leave with the audience before we go. There are eight stages of conflict. Misunderstanding, which causes us to form an opinion or make an assumption. And then there's this internal discord. Now, what's happened? Half of the conflict cycle continuum is done before the other person even knows that that they're in disagreement. Then you have that disagreement. It brings a relational background and a need for mediation. Otherwise, there's all out war. So remember, folks, that conflict starts halfway through the continuum. And if we do not understand that other person's mind map, and we do not understand the fact that there is already this internal discord going on, we're going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is, you know, I think of the graphic that you had put up for this. It's the one that I use for this live event. It's that picture of the brain and all of the things that are going on. And, you know, your brain is at war here, right?
Yep.
With this whole conflict thing. So, Chuck, how would you like to wrap this up? How can people, I've already put in the chat that people can go to lifethrive.com, your website, that can check out more information on conflict and the assessment. And I put in kind of last call in the chat. If anybody wants the assessment for free, feel free to put something in the chat now. I have captured everybody that's done that so far. There's the course on there. Where would you like to lead people? What would you like to lead people with today?
Well, I think the most important thing that we have to understand as leaders, managers, or just people that interact with people they love, they care about, etc., is that there is no escaping it. conflict is going to occur, no matter how much you love, you care for an individual. And if you're married, you know that's got to be true.
Very true.
The important thing is, it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
That if you don't deal with it, you will suffer in the process. Dealing with conflict can be done and over with in a matter of a few minutes. At the outside, maybe a few hours if it's a real complicated issue. But conflict is good. It tells us something's wrong. So fix what's wrong and make your life better. And if you take that constructive mentality into this process, you'll win. You will absolutely win. And not just win the conflict, but win the relationship, which is the key to approaching this in a manner that brings lasting relationships and lasting opportunities to move ahead successfully.
Yeah, a win in life and work, right? And I want to add one last thought to what you've said. To prepare yourself to have the right mindset when it comes to conflict, that's going to come from the skills of emotional intelligence. Yes. It's going to be able to navigate emotions and apply consequential thinking and have emotional literacy and recognize your own patterns, recognize your triggers. What is going to trigger you? What is going to trigger other people? If you can create within yourself a pathway through emotional intelligence skills that allow you to not be triggered or not avoid conflict because of the emotions, that's the primary reason people avoid conflict. It isn't the conflict itself. It's not the problem that needs to be resolved. It's the emotional triggers and the feeling of being uncomfortable or fearful or anxious or worried. It's those emotional drivers that are keeping people from moving forward productively with conflict resolution.
Exactly. And the course will show you how to de-escalate those conflicts by recognizing truth triggers, relationship triggers, and identity triggers, because all of those are responsible for conflict.
That's good. Chuck, thank you so much for your time today. I love doing these things with you, and we'll do many more of these. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I hope you got something out of this today. Look forward to connecting with you afterwards for those who have put information in the chat. So take care. Have a good day. Don't run from conflict. Run towards it with the right mindset. Thanks again, Chuck.
Okay.
That's a wrap on today's EQ Fit Live episode. I'm Steve Goodner. Be sure to follow me on LinkedIn for more live discussions that elevate your leadership, your teams, and your life. Until next time, lead well and stay emotionally intelligent. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.